Hello and welcome back to the Polaris Travel Health Podcast. Thanks for tuning in with us this week. This week, Jaden and I will be discussing influenza and the flu shot.
Yeah, we're getting back into the cold and flu season once again, unfortunately. And I think that we've been pretty preoccupied with COVID in the last year and a bit, and we've kind of let the flu fall to the wayside, I think. So just kind of as a general overview, what exactly is the flu?
So the flu is a virus, and it's actually a bunch of viruses when it comes right down to it, that are spread through close contact by, you know, coughing and sneezing. People are usually contagious even before they start to get sick, and then for several days after they start to develop symptoms. And symptoms, I think most people know what they are. Fever is probably a big one. Aches and pains, runny nose. You know, I think one thing to always think about is, when we're trying to differentiate between a cold and a flu, lots of times, you're not going to typically get fever with a flu or with a cold, sorry. And we know that flu can be very concerning, you know, in very young and very old, those with a weakened immune system or those who are pregnant, their risk of complications is higher. I think, again, we're gonna play the bingo card here and check off another box here. Jaden's research of numbers for the week. According to the WHO, there were a billion cases of flu each year, with someplace in the range of 290 to 650,000 deaths. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty wide number, and I would say that's probably related to the fact that the surveillance over a worldwide area is not ideal. But I think the bottom line is, who cares exactly what that number is? Quite a few people each year die from the flu.
Right. Yeah, we like to play the statistics game with the podcast. But I think it's reading that, it's kind of insane to think that there are, you know, 1 in 7 people say get the flu every year.
I agree. It is a little crazy when you think about it, but it's a common thing.
Right. So obviously we know that there's a flu vaccine, but how does it work?
Well, what happens with the flu vaccine, it is a little bit different from some other vaccines. And in some ways it's similar in the fact that it's an inactivated vaccine, which is similar to a lot of the other vaccines we give. But one of the differences is that it's an annual vaccine, and every year the formulation does change a little bit. So what really happens is we get the vaccine gets reformulated every year based on the most high risk viruses that we are expecting. And your body creates an immune response. It takes about 2 weeks for the immune response to really kick in. So that's one of the things with flu shots we run into quite often, is that, you know, getting it done sooner is definitely advantageous because it does take about 2 weeks to really exert its effect.
Right. And so how effective, given that we're kind of trying to capture immunity against multiple different influenza viruses, how effective can it be potentially?
It's hard to know. It can vary from year to year. And, you know, sometimes you see numbers in the 40 to 60% range. It varies. And the bottom line is it's not going to be 100% protective, but it definitely provides some level of value. And we know that people that have been vaccinated seem to have less severe outcomes as well. Kind of like we even talk sometimes about COVID, you know, you get the flu vaccine and it seems like your long-term complications and severe outcomes seems to be reduced. But, you know, the nice thing about flu shot really is that we know the risk of getting a flu shot is very low. So even if it's not the most protective thing in the sense that it's got like 90-100% coverage, it's the risk of is low, and the benefit is clearly there.
Right. And so you've kind of already answered this, but why do we need to get a new flu shot every single year?
Yeah, like what really happens with this is every year, like when you think about the flu shot and think about the flu in general, it circulates widely in areas where it's cold at that time of year. So we see the flu more in our winter. Well, in the South Hemisphere, their flu season is in like January.
Right.
Or not, sorry, not in January, like in July. It's kind of the opposite. They do flu shots in like our Canadian spring because that's their fall. So what usually happens is organizations that have been set up look at the, they do surveillance on what flu viruses are circulating in other parts of the world and think that are the most likely ones that are going to end up in North America. And then they create the formula. It's based usually on a mix of three or four common flu vaccine or flu viruses that we want to make sure we protect against.
Right, right. So kind of on that, can getting the flu vaccine interfere with other vaccines, namely like the COVID vaccine, if you get them kind of in a close time frame to one another?
It shouldn't. We can pretty much give a flu vaccine with any other vaccine and not a problem. Live vaccines, inactive vaccines, and now actually the latest guidance is here in Alberta, and I think we're going to be seeing this everywhere, is that the 14-day gap that we've been asking regarding COVID vaccine. So we've been saying don't get any vaccines 14 days before or 14 days after a COVID vaccine dose. That's not going to apply for flu shots. So just to give you some perspective, in the States, they've been giving inactivated vaccines at the same time as COVID shots for a while. And this is not a completely, Canada is not exactly breaking the mold on this. Other jurisdictions have been doing it. But yeah, we're going to see it being given. You can get a COVID vaccine and a flu shot the same day if you want.
Sure, sure. That just might make you a little bit tired.
Perhaps, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so when does the flu shot normally become available, and when will you specifically be able to provide it?
In Alberta, the official start of the provincial flu vaccine program is Monday, October 18th. So coming soon. We are going to be getting some doses probably a little bit early, and for some high-risk people, we may be able to vaccinate them early. But generally speaking, the open for public date is going to be Monday the 18th, and it'll go from there. And yeah, that's all part of the provincial program. So as probably most people know, and this is sort of Alberta-centric, but basically what we're looking at here is if you have an Alberta healthcare card, anybody can get flu vaccine at no charge from either a public health provider or from a pharmacy, a clinic like ours. There's lots of different potential options.
Sure, sure. And so what do the side effects tend to be for the flu shot?
You know, usually you run into things like your typical inactivated vaccines, general tiredness, headache, feeling kind of just a little bit non-specifically blah, sore arm. But, you know, that's usually at the people say, oh, I can get the flu from the flu shot. Well, you can't really. If you develop flu-like symptoms a couple days after you get the flu shot, it's probably that you already had the flu and were probably already infected but not symptomatic before. But,
right,
you know, typically speaking, it's sort of that vague, non-specific feeling and sore arm. There's small risks of a severe reaction, like an anaphylactic allergic reaction. But, yeah.
Going off of that, is there anyone who shouldn't or who can't get the flu vaccine?
There really aren't that many people that can't get a flu vaccine. You know, we give it to people that are immunocompromised, people that are pregnant. There are a few situations where we would definitely be cautious. And the first one would be anyone who's had a previous allergic anaphylactic reaction to a flu shot. Another one would be anyone who's had Guillain-Barré syndrome within 6 weeks of a previous flu shot should be cautious. Do you know what Guillain-Barré syndrome is, Jaden?
No, I don't.
It's an unusual neurological disease. Basically, what happens with this is you can develop temporary paralysis, and it in theory could kill you. Now, it is something that your incidence of getting it in a flu shot is probably about 1 in 1,000,000. And your chances of actually getting Guillain-Barré syndrome when you actually have the flu is higher than that. But it's obviously a scary concept. Yeah, if you've had Guillain-Barré syndrome around the same time as a flu shot previously, you probably should not get another one, I'd say. There have been lots of people that are concerned about egg allergies. Typically speaking, even if you have a severe egg allergy, we are usually still recommending doing the flu shot. How we used to make flu shots is not the same as how we make them now. So the egg allergy seems to be not as much of an issue, but I think I'd still be a bit cautious under those circumstances.
Right, right. So something else that I wanted to touch on is the higher dose flu shot for senior citizens.
Yes, this is something which has been available for a few years now. And actually this year in Alberta, keeping this sort of Alberta centric, this is the first year that everybody over 65 in the provincial program will get the high dose flu shot. Right. So it's been available previously if you are in a care facility or if you want to pay for it, but now it's 65 across the board, will get the high dose flu shot. The difference really here is high dose is actually a very good way of describing it, because really it has four times as much antigen, or basically the stuff that elicits the immune response, than the regular flu shot. It's not a special formula. It's got different things in it, different strains. It's basically has all the stuff that's inside a regular flu shot four times over. So you're basically giving yourself a higher dose of the antigen. Now, what we know is that as you get older, your immune system starts to decrease in its ability to respond. So essentially, you're just hitting it with a harder hammer, if you want, or however you want to call it. But we know that you're more likely to develop a better immune response if you're a senior. So that's what we're doing. And then you probably have a higher chance of feeling some side effects, the arm soreness and the tiredness and stuff. But there's a lot of research which shows that this definitely helps the senior population for sure.
Sure. And is that four times as much antigen? Does that mean that the dose itself is kind of like a higher volume, or is it just more magnified, I guess? I don't know how to describe it.
I know exactly what you're saying. The amount is minimally higher. I believe that the regular flu shot is 0.5 mils and this one is 0.7. So it is a little bit higher, but when you start thinking about the amount given in a vaccine, there are lots of vaccines that have a full mil. So right. Even though it's a little bit more, it's not four times the amount. It's just really the one ingredient that's got four times. It's the antigen part. So it's not like you have to basically cram every single thing four times over. It's just the antigen four times over, and then everything else is pretty much the same.
Right. Okay. So kind of following that, there's also another vaccination option called Flumis, right? What exactly is it? What is the difference? And who might that be a good option for?
Yeah. Well, Flumis is a product which has been around for several years, and really, it's a needleless option for a flu shot. It's a little different in regards to how we handle it relative to the flu shot. It still has the same strains of virus it's protecting you against, but instead of doing it as an injection, it's a nasal spray. So what really happens is, this is something which has to be administered by a healthcare professional. You can't just take it home with you, but it requires refrigeration. And basically what we do is we spray some of this nasal spray into each nostril, and then really you go do your thing, right? And it's a good option for people that don't like needles. There are some concerns in regards to age restrictions. The minimum age is 2. The maximum age is 59. And it's 49 in the States, 59 in Canada. And it is a live vaccine. So anybody who can't take a live vaccine, that is a concern. So that would eliminate some people. There are some people that also should probably avoid it. A couple of the concerns are if you are around people that are immunocompromised or at high risk for flu, you should probably avoid them for 2 weeks after getting the flu nasal spray, because there is some viral shedding through your nose after you get the flu mist. So what happen is you inhale this flu mist liquid or spray, I guess. But for the next 2 weeks, it's possible that your nose could shed some virus when you're exhaling through your nose. So I know we've heard, and I don't want to digress too much on this, Jaden, but, you know, people, some of the conspiracy theorists and everything like that talk about viral shedding with COVID vaccines and stuff.
Yes.
That is not a thing for an injectable vaccine. But for this, for Flumist, it is a thing. So I think the whole idea of viral shedding has sort of, maybe it originated because of something like Flumist, but this is where there is some viral shedding and a concern if you're around people. But really, that's it. The other thing is too, if you have bad asthma, this is probably not a good option for you as well. But it's certainly a viable option if you've got needle phobia.
Right. So why is it a live vaccine versus an inactivated vaccine? Is there a reason for that, or is that just like for fun. Like, I wouldn't exactly know why the regular injectable vaccine is available as an inactivated vaccine versus why the flu mist would be a live vaccine.
I don't actually know, Jaden. I know that the flu vaccine's been inactivated for a long time, like the injectable, and the flu mist has always been live. And I'm assuming it's something regarding formulation, but I really don't know. It's kind of always been that way, and I've never really researched into the details of it. It is an interesting product. I want to mention a couple more historical things about flu mist.
Sure.
Some people in Alberta may have some familiarity with it being offered to their kids as part of the provincial program. I don't know, like 5-6 years ago, it was part of the provincial program for a few years. It's no longer part of the Alberta provincial program. So it is still available, and we're going to have some here at our clinic, but it is something that's outside the usual program. So you have to pay for it.
Right.
Our cost, our charge is $40 per person. And, you know, we do direct bill drug plans, that sort of thing. But yeah, it is one that if you want to get the flu shot, it's no charge if you have Alberta healthcare, but this one you would have to pay the $40.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Anything else that you kind of wanted to mention about the flu or the flu shot? Anything like that?
Not really. I think the one thing I probably should at least mention too is if you're, again, Alberta-centric type stuff, but anybody 5 years of age and older can go to pharmacies, clinics, any provider that is doing flu shots and should be able to accommodate them. If you are under five, have a child under five, they still need to go to Alberta Health to get their, through one of their public health clinics, get a flu vaccine. Of course, if you're over five, you can go there too, but under five, you have to go there. And another little side bit I'll mention as well regarding, you know, really little kids. If you are under 9 years of age and you've never had a flu shot before, you really should get two doses. And you get one dose and you get another dose a month later. That's basically something that you would give like a little kid that's never had a flu shot before. And so we don't typically see it very often in our practice, but it is something that it is a thing. It is a recommended thing.
Right. Is that to kind of like jumpstart some sort of immunity?
Essentially, yeah. That's what you're looking at.
How come you aren't able to vaccinate kids against the flu who are under five in like outside of an Alberta Health center, I guess you could say?
Basically, that's just the way it's always been. There's a couple, I guess, reasons when you think about it. Most of the providers that are doing flu shots outside of Alberta Health are pharmacies, which means pharmacists are usually doing the injections. Pharmacists in Alberta, and I think in most other provinces in Canada, are not approved to do injections for kids under five. If you're 5 years old, it's fine. Four and under cannot be done by a pharmacist. So the only people that can really do vaccinations for under five are registered nurses. So when it comes down to it, the Alberta AHS clinics have registered nurses there available. And I think that since we know that typically speaking in pharmacies, it's usually a pharmacist giving you your flu vaccine, they've just said, okay, forget it. We're just going to make this, make it like this. So, and that's the way it's been right now. If you were under five and you wanted to get a flu shot at a pharmacy, like you'd have to get it through a nurse. But right now, like I said, the agreement that we sign with Alberta Health, we don't even have that option right now. So take your little kids to Alberta Health and get it done through public health.
Yes. Yeah. To all of you three-year-olds out there listening to this podcast.
I'm sure there are lots of three-year-olds listening right now.
Yeah. Make sure that you get your flu shot through Alberta Health specifically. Can't get it done at the regular pharmacy.
Yeah. That's another thing to mention, I guess, too. The minimum age for a flu shot is 6 months.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty much it. So anything else you want to add in, Jaden?
No, I think we hit a lot of the main points about the flu shot and about flu mist, seniors, all that kind of good stuff. So, yeah.
So I guess one thing I'll do if anyone is listening in our area, if you go to our website at polaristravelclinic.ca and you go into the book appointment tab, there is you can sign up for the wait lists either for the regular flu shot, the over 65 flu shot, or the flu mist. So if you go to the book appointments and all the links are there, so you can add yourself. So as soon as we have everything ready to go and available, we'll start sending out links to book appointments.
Sure. And are you guys planning to do any offsite vaccinations this year?
Oh yeah, definitely. Every year we do corporate flu shots for different businesses in the Airdrie Calgary area. It's a bit of a different concept. When we do the flu shots for corporate clients, we can use the provincial vaccine, but we actually have to charge the business for the administration fees. So there is a cost involved with having us come to your business, but we actually still have lots of businesses who still do it. And it's kind of fun to go into some of these offices and they set you up in a conference room or whatever. And then we just have a big flu shot clinic. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Sounds fun.
Yeah. Some of our staff just love going out there and doing them. So it's definitely interesting.
Definitely. All right. Well, anything else that you want to mention about that?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of the Polaris Travel Health Podcast. A reminder that the information and advice that we provided in this podcast are not a substitute for live medical advice tailored to your itinerary or your medical history. If you have questions or you want to book an appointment, please head over to our website, www.polaristravelclinic.ca. Check us out on Twitter as well at Polaris Travel RX and our Facebook page. We hope you'll tune in again with us next week.
Thanks, Jaden.
Yeah, thank you.